So today we're going to speak about Pentecost. So I think we've already had a fairly Pentecostal service with the Holy Spirit moving and someone starting their healing journey even before the service began. So I just want to talk a little bit about Pentecost because I want us to get so excited about what God did on the day of Pentecost and about what he still wants to do today. So Pentecost was a celebration of the day the Holy Spirit was released in the church. It's a current celebration. We still celebrate it. So the first ever church was Pentecostal because God came, exploded the Holy Spirit. People spoke in other languages. They had flaming fire, tongues on their head. It was a Pentecostal church. And now we've moved away from Pentecostal churches. Some churches are not sure of the things of the Spirit. But I think for anyone listening to this, it's good to realize that the church that God created, that Jesus left as his bride, was Pentecostal. Isn't that just gobsmacking fantastic? You know, wonderful. So the word Pentecost was a Jewish feast in the Old Testament. And when they were doing that Jewish feast of Pentecost in the Old Testament, they were celebrating God giving the Ten Commandments to Moses. The word itself, Pentecost, means 50th day, okay? Because it occurs 50 days after the Passover feast that they also celebrated. Jesus was crucified during the Passover period, right? During that feast. And 50 days later, 50 days after that, at Pentecost, the Spirit was given. So it's all perfect in God's timing, you know? The Spirit of God had never been given to all mankind before. So this was something new, amazing, and powerful. So let's just do another wee bit of the history behind it. The very first Pentecost in the Old Testament, like I say, God gave the law to Moses. He went up the mountain, got his wee chisel out, chiseled the Ten Commandments on the two stone tablets. It was a list of do's and don'ts on Mount Sinai. Do this, don't do that. Do the next thing, never do that thing. So it's Ten Commandments, and it's a whole list of do's and don'ts. Moses was up the Mount Sinai for quite a long time, for many days, and the people down below got fed up. They thought, Moses isn't coming back. He's disappeared up in a cloud up to heaven. He's not coming back down. What will we do? I know, everyone take off their bangles and their earrings because they're all solid gold, throw them in the melting pot, and we'll create a golden calf, and we'll worship that. Moses had only been gone a wee while, and they're already led astray and worshipping a false god. And when Moses came down the mountain, and God was so angry with the people for worshipping a false god, 3,000 people died that day, on that very first day of Pentecost in the Old Testament. 3,000 people died. Now let's fast forward a few thousand years and go to the second Pentecost in the New Testament, where God gave the Holy Spirit. They spoke in tongues and there was flames of fire seen on their head. And when God released his Holy Spirit, it came upon Peter in a new boldness. Remember, this was a man who ran away from the campfire and denied knowing Jesus 3 times. He was so scared for his own skin and so petrified, and I don't think any one of us would be any different. And he ran away, and the Holy Spirit of Almighty God filled Peter that day, and he preached with such boldness that 3,000 people were saved. God turned the whole thing around. So the original day of Pentecost in the Old Testament, 3,000 people die. The second Pentecost in the New Testament, when the Holy Spirit's released, 3,000 people get saved. Because when God released the Holy Spirit, he released life. The Holy Spirit brings life. And if you've got anything that's dead in your life, a relationship that's dead, thought processes that are dead, a big toe that's dead, anything that's dead, you need the Holy Spirit to bring life. Because that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. John 7 and verse 38 says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Because your belly, it's right here. It's not the bit down below where you digest your food, but it's, I picture it, this tiny little triangular space just below your diaphragm, just below your heart. There's nothing in there. There's no organs in there. That's not where your stomach is. Your stomach's just a little bit below that. There's a space in there. And I think that is your spiritual belly. You know, if you get bad news, it goes, ugh, in there. If you get some good news, you get excited in there. Just right here in the middle of your being is your belly. Rivers of living water are promised to flow out of our belly. And that scripture is talking about the Holy Spirit. Now, the word belly in the New Testament in the Greek, it's the exact same word for womb. So it could be translated belly or it could be a translated womb, but it's not your eating stomach. Okay, it's this, I picture it as being here, that when you asked God to be your Savior and the Holy Spirit comes and lives, there's a well shape right here where he comes and he fills it. If I feel that the Holy Spirit is doing something on me, I get a tightening, and it's right here, a physical tightening, right there in my belly, my spiritual belly and my womb. And so it's the same word. The Spirit flows out of our womb, our spiritual womb, birthing new life, new ideas, new power onto a situation that we don't know what to do with. You know, if things feel dead, then release the Spirit, because you're releasing life, and you do that by speaking in tongues. You release life into a situation. So the first Pentecost, Moses up the hill, two tablets, list of do's and don'ts. The first Pentecost focuses on what we've done. We shall do this and we shall not do that. 10 times. It's based on the works of man. What have you worked at? What have you done well? What have you not done well? These are all the rules and regulations, the 10 commandments. First Pentecost was based on works. The second Pentecost focuses not on what we've done, not on the works of man, but it focuses on what God's done. It focuses on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the release of his Holy Spirit. And he did it all so we wouldn't have to work. If there's a situation that we've come to the end of ourselves and we say, oh, I was tearing my hair out. I just didn't know what to do. It was at the end, my wit's end. We've got all these different expressions. You're at the end of my tether. We've got all these different expressions for it. We come to the end of us working to solve the problem or the situation. Tongues is the complete opposite. Tongues isn't works. It isn't me trying to do it in my strength. I need to find a solution. I need to get an answer. Tongues is rest from works. Now that is amazing. That's an amazing thing right there. Tongues is when God works for us on our behalf. I finally get to the end of myself. Hand the problem over to God. God says, thank goodness, Sandra, I've been waiting for a fortnight for you to do that. I hand it over to him and I can start praying. So here is my revelation. Praying in tongues is resting in God. That's the thing to go away with, folks. Don't fall asleep on me, but if you do at this point, go home with that. Praying in tongues is resting in God. It's trusting God for the answer. Tongues isn't doing it in our strength, it's resting in God's strength. Because when I speak in tongues and it comes out my spiritual belly, out my womb, it's beyond my ken, you know? It's probably beyond Barbie as well, but that's another story. But it's beyond what we understand. We can't comprehend it. It's just beyond us. You know, if a situation is too hard, then rest. Pray in tongues. Let God work on our behalf. Tongues is not doing it in our strength, but it's doing it in God's strength. So under the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, God sent his Spirit on just individuals. So he decided, Moses, you're the man for the job, and I'm going to empower you. My Holy Spirit's going to hover over you. You get in there and hit Pharaoh over the head and let my people go. And then he decided it was going to be on David, because David was going to be king. And David had to defeat Saul and all the Israelis' enemy, and it was going to be David. And then maybe he picked Elijah. So all the people in the Old Testament, it was one individual. The Holy Spirit empowered them for the one job that God needed them to do. But the rest of the people didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And they weren't empowered. It was just on the individual. God did not live in these individuals, didn't live in them. His presence still lived in a tabernacle made by man. He was living in a tent. You know, that's worse than Adrian and Brenda. You know, at least they've got a caravan. God only had a tent, right? He wasn't hungry or homeless, but he lived in a tent. And even then, the majority of people couldn't even enter in, and we certainly couldn't enter the Holy of Holies. Only the priest did that once a year. So we couldn't get close to God. We couldn't get into his presence. But under the new covenant, under the new one, where Jesus went to the cross and he died and he rose again. And I mean, hell must have just not known what hit them. You know, they just didn't know what hit it when Jesus went down there with life and just said, you don't own the keys to death and hell anymore. They are mine. Give me what was rightfully mine. You know, so the veil at that point, the veil that separated the presence of God from the rest of mankind was completely torn in two. It was ripped up the middle because God said, now my people can enter into my presence. There's no separation between us anymore. And now God lives in us by his Holy Spirit. So this body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit and there's no barrier. It's ours just for the asking. And he now comes and he lives in us. And baptism in the Holy Spirit is today's Pentecost. And if we want it, we just need to ask. And what we did earlier is we asked for him to fall afresh on me. Fall afresh today, Holy Spirit. He never leaves. He's always there. But he can just be lying a wee bit too quiet because we've not given him a little jiggle up lately. You know, we've not stirred him up. And so we can just say, just fill me to overflowing. Rise up. I prefer to think of it as not him coming down, but him being in me already and rising up and overflowing in rivers of living water, like that scripture said. So the Holy Spirit was promised in the Old Testament. There's a prophecy. Joel, the prophet Joel, prophesied, this is coming, guys. This Holy Spirit is coming. And it's in Joel chapter 2 and verse 28, and it says this, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit. There's just no two ways about it. God wants to pour out his spirit on us, male, female, old, young, no exceptions. He just wants to pour out his spirit. And the Holy Spirit is also promised in the New Testament, just as Jesus himself speaking. John 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, the Spirit of truth. He lives with you constantly and will be in you. He's going to be in you, right? That's the promise. His Spirit is with us and in us constantly. The Holy Spirit is constantly flowing with life, constantly flowing with the answer, with new ideas. You know, a wee while ago, at the end of last year, I had to get up and speak at a funeral. I wasn't taking the whole funeral, but I was given the privilege of speaking for a few minutes at the funeral, and I did not know what to say at this funeral because it would be mostly non-Christians there. Neil and I might have been the only two Christians in the place, and I really didn't know what to say. And I kept putting off the preparation because I was preparing for church and all the rest of it. And I thought, that's next week. And then it was 5 days away. Then it was 4 days away. Then it was 3 days away. And I thought, I really need to prepare this. So one day I just went in the living room, shut the door, and I just said, Lord, I really don't know what to say. I'm a bit anxious about it. I just give it all to you. And I just said, I know that in me is the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ in us. So between the power of the Holy Spirit and the mind of Christ, could you just give me a few ideas? Just give me a few pointers. And I just started to pray in tongues. Well, I mean, I don't even think I prayed for 1 minute. Boom, the whole thing got downloaded. I had to run and get a pen and write the whole thing down as fast as I could. And it was there. You know, so God, he steps in when we don't know what else to do. He gives us ideas by the power of his Holy Spirit. So this is the moment it all happened. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So this is the moment it happened. After Jesus had been resurrected, the promised Holy Spirit came after his death, burial, and resurrection. So all of the followers that were left behind, the ones that were still not too frightened of the Roman soldiers, the ones that stayed true to Jesus, they were all in this one upper room. And God's power comes and it falls in a way that it's never fallen before. And it just filled the entire house. There was men there. There was women there. If you go and start in Acts chapter 1 even and just read it through, you'll see there was women present. There was everybody. There was old. There was young. And this power just falls. And he filled everything, all flesh, it says, men and women. Today, God fills this house that we live in, our body. He fills this house. He fills you and me with his power. And it's the same power. It's not a less measure because you're not on a microphone. Okay? It's the same power. I'm just louder at the moment because I'm on a microphone. I want us to note this, that God gave us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost and it has never been taken away. Never. It is still there. The power of God was made available to us all by his Spirit. The power of God lives inside all who ask for it. He came as a mighty rushing wind because God rushed towards his people. I think God had been waiting for this moment for thousands of years, since the Garden of Eden. For about 4,000 years, I think God had been waiting for this moment to rush to his people. Finally, we've had the birth of my son. Finally, the price has been paid for their sin. Finally, I can release my Holy Spirit, and boom, he just releases it because he rushes towards him. He couldn't wait. He was so excited. He couldn't wait to get rid of the stink of death off our lives and fill us with his life. I don't think he could wait for that. I want us to know that God's not the one holding back. He's done all the rushing. He's done all the releasing. But we're the ones not speaking in tongues. You know, put my hand up to that. Not doing that enough. We're the ones not speaking in tongues. If we want life, we must release life by releasing his Spirit out of our mouth. So the Spirit also brings power. So we're going to go a little bit further forward, Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And it says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. I just want us to notice that the people that were sick were oppressed by the devil. They weren't oppressed by God. God did not send the sickness. The enemy did. So let's just look at this word power. So Jesus himself, he couldn't do what he was doing without the Holy Spirit's power. So God anointed Jesus of Nazareth and filled him with the Holy Spirit and with power. The Greek word used here for power is dunamis. Okay? And from dunamis, we get our words dynamite and dynamic. You know? Just like the front row here, they're all dynamic. Okay? So dynamite and dynamic. Jesus was jam-packed. Dynamite, dynamic power from God. I don't think anyone would argue with that. Absolutely amazing. But listen, there's more amazing stuff. Now look at what God gave us, what he gave you and me on the day of Pentecost, Acts 1 verse 8. And you Jackie, you Marion, you James, you Adrian, you Helen, you Anne, God gave you. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And if you look up that word power, it is the exact same word, dunamis. You're going to receive dunamis. You're going to receive the same dynamite, dynamic power that I put on Jesus. That's what's in us. It's not a different Holy Spirit. It's not a shrunk down version to fit inside us. He was a human being the same as us. Don't know how tall he was. Maybe he was 6 foot. That's a kind of average height, you know. 5'10", 6 foot. He's just the same height as any other man that was walking about the earth at that time. And he was filled with dunamis. And we have the exact same. God's not promised us a cut down version. He's promised us the exact same dunamis. We receive the same Spirit and the same power as Jesus. Folks, God is with us in the same way by his Spirit. We are packed with spiritual dynamite. We just don't know it. And we're not using it. We just don't know it and we're not using it. Our tongues have the power to explode like dynamite and change our lives. It's a no-brainer. It's an absolute no-brainer to use it and see our lives changed. Let's look at Acts 1 verse 4. He commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. And it says, you shall be baptized with, placed in the Holy Spirit. So God had made them a promise. And the promise was actually not just tongues. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit. There's wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment of spirits, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. God could have chosen any of the 9 gifts as a sign of his Spirit being given. But the first one that everybody saw on these people in the upper room was the speaking in tongues. And the people all around thought, they're speaking my own language. I'm from 100 miles away or whatever, but I can hear them speaking my own language. And they wondered how that was. But God chose tongues. He could have chosen visions, but it's not quite as obvious if someone's getting a vision, but it's fairly obvious if they're speaking in tongues. So he could have chosen anything. So why did he choose tongues? Because he knew the power in it. He knew the dunamis. He knew the dynamite that was in tongues. So here's my question. I'm challenging myself. Do I know the power that's in my tongue? Because speaking in tongues will open the door for all 9 gifts. They will all bring life. But tongues is a sign given to us to show us that the Spirit's here. And it's the most common one. I can still remember when I was first saved, doubting my salvation. 2 things helped to confirm it. One was I got water baptized, but after that, still doubts would come. But the second one was I got baptized in the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues. But after that, the enemy didn't have a leg to stand on. If he ever came into my head saying, you're not really saved, I'm going to hold it right there. Hold the phone. I know God is with me. I speak his language. He's given me his language. I can speak his language. He never ever came back after that with that particular attack. He never came back because I can speak God's language. Tongues is a sign given to us to show us the Spirit is here, and it is the most common one. Folks, we don't have to speak in tongues. We get to speak in tongues. So when did you last use yours? That's a challenge to me as well. When did I last use mine? Verse 5 says that we've been placed in the Holy Spirit. So if you think of the Holy Spirit as being like water, at salvation, we take a drink of that water, living water, and it goes down in the inside and fills this well, and it never leaves us. Okay, it's always there, the presence of the Holy Spirit. He now lives in us. Now, everyone has that measure of the Holy Spirit at salvation. But at baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's almost like there's this beautiful pool in front of us and we just dive in. We just dive in and we're totally saturated in the power of the Holy Spirit. So now we are placed in the Holy Spirit. So it's one thing to drink some water, but it's another thing to jump in the river, you know, and just have it flowing all of the time. One is the water is in us, but the other is we are in the living water. And God has rivers of living water for us to live in. And we can be filled with it today, right now. So here's another reason why God chose to touch the tongue. And I just love this. I absolutely love this. Okay, James 3, verse 6. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, wickedness. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. That's the negative things. Evil comes out of people's mouths. You know, that's how wars start, because people are speaking evil things. The tongue is set on fire by hell, it says here. Wickedness, you know. It can defile our whole body, and we keep it in our mouth. It doesn't sound too hygienic to me, you know? So we say, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can never harm me. Folks, that is not true, because the words that people say can kill us. Words are like a dagger in our heart. Words destroy lives and words start wars. So the tongue is very, very powerful. Proverbs 18:21, almost my signature tune, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Not just life, death and life. God knew the potential in the tongue. Listen to this. Pin back your ear holes for the next couple of sentences here, because this is another Bobby Dazzler. God knew the potential in the tongue, that it was for death and life. And let's face it, it was killing the population of the earth at that time and at this time. The power of the tongue is killing people. The power of the tongue is destroying nations right now as we speak. In this lovely, safe place, some Christians are being bombed and set on fire because of the power and the wickedness and the evil that is in the tongue. So what was the first thing that God did at the New Testament Pentecost? What was the first thing he chose to do? Could have thrown out nine things. Could have thrown out miracles. Could have thrown out visions. Could have thrown out prophecies. Could have thrown out anything. And he chose this one thing. He chose to heal the tongue. Now, if that doesn't knock your socks off, I don't know what will. God chose to heal the tongue. It was the first thing he did because he thought, my people are killing themselves. They're speaking the doctor's report over themselves over and over and over, and they will die of that thing. Instead of speaking life and truth and the price that Jesus paid for at the cross so that we could be set free from sickness, he decided to heal the tongue. So my revelation is God brought us healing through speaking in tongues. If we don't know what else to do, let's just speak in tongues, guys. It is so powerful. The tongue has a direct connection to life and healing. We just read it. Life is in the power of the tongue. It's got a direct connection to life and healing. Proverbs 15 and verse 4 says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. Not a tree of rotten apples. It's not a tree of bananas. It's a tree of life. The Garden of Eden had two trees at the center. One was the tree of good and evil, and the other one was the tree of life. So many times we are still eating from the tree of good and evil. We avoid evil, doesn't always work, but we try to do good, but it's still the same tree. It's works, works. Works. It's our effort. We're trying to do it. I'm sorry, God, I've let you down again. We try to do things on our own. We work to be good by our own efforts. We're trying to solve our own problems, worrying about things instead of resting in God. Remember, tongues is rest. Instead of resting in God, we're trying to do things in our own effort. We're back to the Ten Commandments. We need to eat from the tree of life. Stop worrying about what we've got wrong. Give it to God, repent, say, it's done, can't change it, can't fix it, I give it to you. I know I was wrong, but whatever, I'm picking the pieces up and I'm going forward with God. We just need to give it to him. We need to eat from the tree of life. Tongues brings life, healing, and rest. It brings rest from us working to try and solve our own problems, because speaking in tongues brings God's dunamis, dynamic, dynamite power directly into our situation. You know, if I've got a problem and I've got no solution, it's just like, I need to just pray in tongues. I need to just go and walk. I've seen Neil so many times when he was working for the bank and he was in IT, just down tools, put his trainers on and go for a 5-minute walk and back and just pray in tongues because he couldn't solve the problem. Then you come back, you've prayed in tongues, boom, you've got the answer to the problem. We need to use the power that God's given us. God works on our behalf when we speak in tongues and he will give us a solution. So I'm just concluding here. Speaking naturally gets natural results. What if for a change we decide to speak supernaturally? How different is the situation at work going to be if we do that? Thinking naturally will get natural results. What if we think supernaturally? And we just give the whole thought thing that's going round in our head to God and we start speaking in tongues. Our mind can have a fit because we don't understand tongues. I know of people that just, they just thought, no, this can't be right, this can't be God, because I don't know what I'm saying and I don't understand it. Do you know, the Bible says God chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Well, here I am, Lord, foolish before you. Just give me all you've got. I just want all he's got, whether I understand it or not. Just want everything that he's got. But our minds, don't you think, when our minds have a fit about this, don't you think our minds been in control long enough? Long enough. It's time to give our spirit a go. It's time to let our spirit out its box, you know, and just pour out that dunamis power. It's time to trust God and speak in tongues, and then his life and his power and his rest will flow in us too. If you want a different life, try using a different language. Let God's tongues flow out of our mouth and see the difference it makes. Thank you. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up.